Brother Robert led the singing yesterday. How many months had it been that you hadn't been able to sing? About 5 months. Hadn't been able. Couldn't hardly get his breath, could he? Bad lung trouble. God healed him yesterday. Isn't that wonderful? I didn't let him just get up and got sing, but he got testified after. Said he needed to praise the Lord. He couldn't hardly get his breath, and then all of a sudden God healed him. That was a wonderful thing, wasn't it? He didn't have no trouble today, did he? Good to see everybody. My, it's just good to see all of you. And Brother Joey, boy, when you said I encouraged you, but if you'd have come to me and said, Brother Charles, I like that preaching, I said, well, I'm going to quit my church, teaching, I said, don't do it, don't do it, do it. I could fell at my feet right there. But he just, your wife was a teacher too. But both of them quit teaching. I didn't have any place to preach. I just started out of faith. Hallelujah. Desi Allen, his wife, bought a motorhome. Had a little car they put behind it. Told his dad, Ellis Allen, you knew him, Brother Lloyd Cheek, lived over there, Rose Hill, where you lived. And he said, Daddy, you're going to evangelize. He said, well, what are you going to do? Have you got any meetings? And, well, we got one. You got one meeting? You're going to quit your work, go to evangelizing? He said, yeah, that's what we're going to do. Well, how are you going to go, son? He said, well, I'm going to go in faith. He said, son, faith's a good thing, but try eating it. But he made it. Yeah. Yeah. He made it anyway. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Bob's out there cooking that pork, chicken, and I'm glad it's all sanctified in prayer, aren't you, with Thanksgiving? And so, Brother Bob, I appreciate what you had to say. He's out there listening to us, so I'm telling him I really enjoyed what he had to say this morning. And I don't have a veterans message either, Brother Joy. But I certainly enjoyed what you preached on, and you'll know why in just a little while here. But I was thinking, whenever he got through preaching, and the Holy Ghost just moved all of a sudden. Wasn't that a surprise? All of a sudden, here he was. Everybody's praising the Lord. I remember, you heard me, if you was over at Brother Mike's when I was down here last month, I told you it's coming through Tennessee. Now, Tennessee is an interesting state to me. My great-grandfather was a Confederate soldier. He came out of Wayne County, Tennessee, moved up to Arkansas after the war and started his family up there. And so, and then Dad was born to my great-grandfather, of course, or my grandfather. And then he met my mother, and her grandfather was a Union soldier. So the blue and the gray, they met and made peace, and I'm the result of it, all right? So anyway, I was coming through Cookeville, got to Cookeville, Tennessee, and I saw this huge cross. And I was looking at that cross, and when you come on around the mountain there, pretty soon you'll see a sign, and it said, surely I come quickly. Yeah. And as I drove by that, I thought I heard a voice saying, I'm the Lord Jesus Christ, and I approve of this message. Hallelujah, you know. Well, you say, how could it be? Well, somebody signed Jesus down below those words, so I guess it'd be all right if I just put a little more with you, you know. Yeah. But, and I just enjoyed coming down here, got out of Kingsport, and I was looking at the mountains back in there. I love it when I get down here in these mountains, and oh, they weren't just smoky, just something about them. They were magnificent in the gray that was shrouded them, you know what I mean? And the clouds were kind of all broken up, and there's this little, looked like 1,000 pinpoints of light just darting all of those mountains, showing every crag and crevice and outcropping, and you know, it was just a beautiful sight. Tennessee is just kind of encouraging place to get on down to Virginia where the real mountains are, you know. And so But I told you about that message. He got to Cookeville. Well, there's a message, Brother David, just out of Bristol, Tennessee. And I tell you, it's the strangest message. I was going in this, here was this building, painted all loud colors, yellow, you know what I mean? And it said, "We buy guns," real big letters. And right by it said, "Jesus is Lord." And I thought, that's kind of strange, you know? Yeah, we buy. I just see the guy that owned that building driving down some old road to go fishing, you know, for the weekend, and all of his equipment and a big old truck and big wheels and that thing jacked up in there, and him with a beard, you know, and a dozen guns laying in there, and Jesus is Lord. Yeah. Well, I'll get to my message here in a minute, but when I thought about that, I was in the service, of course. I was drafted in 57, and I went in for 2 years, and I was preaching. I've been preaching for 2 years when they drafted me. And it's all right if you didn't go if you're a preacher, but I prayed about it. I had two brothers that had been in the Second World War. I had uncles that had been in the First World War. And, of course, you know, I had grandfathers in the Civil War. And somehow I couldn't bring myself. I just went on in. But I was in the service at Fort Carson, Colorado, and it kind of goes this little boy said, "Guns, we buy guns, Jesus is Lord." This little boy went to church with me, and there's a couple of guys got on to him, got to harassing him. And these soldiers, Brother Dyke says, tell him that what Jesus, well, there was no Jesus Christ. And they kept on, you know, they just kept on. And finally, he got pretty riled up, and he said, yes, there is a Jesus Christ, and to prove it, I'm going to whip you. And he whipped both of them. I don't know what the perception of Jesus Christ was after that, but I'm sure he felt good about his message. He acted like he did. So I put him in that pickup, that old boy going down the road, Jesus, Lord, we buy guns, you know. But so anyway, that isn't what I'm going to preach on. I just kind of nervous here, but I certainly enjoyed Brother Dean's, and I was so glad for the Holy Ghost just come in and say, I approve of this. I approve of this message. He preached you the truth. Yes, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Had a good service last night, Brother. I always want to say Russell. I have to think of Russell before I can think of Cheek. Amen. Brother Cheek done so good. And seemed like to me, Brother Aaron, all the time he's preaching, the Holy Ghost was saying, I approve of this. Amen. So we just had a real good service last night. Good singing. I mean, just good singing. And just had a wonderful time. So, and I need your prayers. I really do, because I am, and by the way, we'll have Brother Prescott tonight. That's the icing on the cake there, right there. So, you know, I'm getting so carried away with Brother Randy, I'm going to start acting like if I don't get out of this, I can't go ahead and get into this. This ain't me. So you pray for me. I want to preach, and I want a little time. And I don't know how I'm going to get into this, but when I tell you my text, you're going to see that it's the Lord that ordered this service today. But as far as me preaching, I've had a terrible time with this. It seems almost like I got two messages. And then sometimes I look, I seem I don't have any. So I hope that I do. But I want to read some. I think I'll start with Ephesians, 3rd chapter, where Paul was praying. He said in one place there in that 3rd chapter, it said, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And then he said in the 14th verse, for this cause, because of the fact that I want the church to know the manifold wisdom, and I want them to know the power and the presence of God, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Yeah. That you might be filled with all. I'm not going to preach on that particularly, but he didn't say the manifestation. It wasn't like something just shine light. It was something that was in you. The Bible said concerning Christ, using the same thought, he said, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Can you imagine? The church needs to realize what we can have.
All right.
Amen.
Yeah.
That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And you know, if you ever heard me preach on amen, I took that old Jewish acrostic. They said it meant God is trustworthy.
Right.
Amen. So just, I like that amen. God is trustworthy. Seven times in the book of Revelation, he says God is trustworthy. So I may not understand. I know I don't understand all there is to know about it, Revelation. But he'll work it all out because God is trustworthy. You know, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We appreciate your goodness and your mercy, the kindness you've shown unto us, the way you've helped us. God, I praise you to help me, Lord, in some way to instill within the church and within my heart also your greatness and your power and your willingness to display that power through the church in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, God, that your greatness will be such an extent, Lord, that your glory will come down and overshadow this entire service, that every preacher and every saint may feel your divine presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to just look at this just a little while. I've just got a few comments on this. But when I got to thinking about how the Bible said here, when Paul is praying that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might, by his Spirit, in the inner or in the inward man. Just think what the Bible is saying here. You remember the Bible, Paul said in the 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and then he starts to enumerate some great trials and tests they went through. But he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And then he enumerated certain things that they've had to endure. And finally come down to the 16th verse, he said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, that he might strengthen you by his Spirit in the inner man, or in the inward man. Amen. That we may realize that inward man will be renewed day by day. Our trials, our tests, whatever comes our way, we can have that renewal day by day by the fellowship we have with Christ, amen, or with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. So when I looked at this, and this man, Dr. Max, I think his name's pronounced Reich, he said, if we make room for the Holy Spirit, we will make room for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I like that. I don't know. People sometimes get a little offended if somebody's called a doctor, but I don't mind calling my doctor. Do you? Doesn't mean he's the best in the world. It just means he's prized. Where's that? He went through hours of study. So I think a man that is a doctor of divinity, I don't see anything wrong with that being called doctor. I mean, some people might, but I don't. It's just all right. But anyway, and when I looked at the result of being strengthened with might by the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, Christ will in your heart settle down. That's what it means, dwell. That word dwell means settle down and be at home. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? That's too much almost to grasp it. You talk about breaking the roof up and getting in there, bring it. But to realize that Christ is willing to sound and be at home. If I myself be strengthened by might, by his spirit in that inner man, he'll settle down and be at home. By the work of the spirit and Christ in your heart, you'll be rooted and grounded in love. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you, I've preached for years now. I started preaching in 1955. So I've been preaching for a year, and I pastored for over 50 years. I've never heard a testimony. I've heard testimonies of people begging, God, and wanting God to give us more of the gifts of the Spirit in the church. And that's fine with me. I'm for that. I'm for that. But I've never heard anybody stand up and say, what I want is more of the love of God. Paul said, yet I show you more excellent way. And then he gave you the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Amen? But he said, people just, we think about the gifts, and that's fine. And the Bible said we should desire them. We want them, and I want them in the church. But the Bible said faith worketh by love. And I feel like the Bible here says, that if we can, that you be strengthened as might by the Spirit of the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. So whenever you come to that place, you get a mental understanding with all the saints of the Bible said you may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. You remember, I told you a long time ago when I was preaching somewhere down in here about that old Baptist boy who rolled up to me and said, guess what? I said, what? He said, do you want the breadth and the depth? He changed it a little bit, but he said, do you know what the breadth and the length and the depth and the height is? And I said, no. What is it? He said, it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world. When it said that, God so loved the world, that's the breadth. Northeast, southwest, wherever you go, God so loved the world. That he gave his only begotten son. That's the length. That's the extent he went to prove that love. You see what I'm saying? That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish. That's the depth. There's no one gets too low but what they can be saved. Hallelujah. That's the depth. Amen. And then the Bible said that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, both on the earth and the eternity to come. So that, the Bible says, is the height. That's how high. He causes us to sit together in heavenly places. So when the Bible said here, you might know, and not only that, he said that you might know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of grace. Of God. Amen. And to know the love of Christ, that is his willingness to give his life for the lost, the result is you're filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, you see the lost as God sees them. Amen. You see the lost as God. I'd like to get to that place, wouldn't you? There's something there that tells me that a church that will thrive on this is going to be a great church. You're going to be a great church. Now, I'm trying to get through this, and I hope I ain't wearing you out. Amen. But the Bible said that, that we might see this, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what the Bible says in Colossians. And the Bible tells us, now unto him is able to exceedingly abundantly. I looked up that word exceedingly abundantly, brother Joy, and it meant exhaustless, and then some on top of that. Exhaustless, and then some on top of that, that he able to exceedingly abundantly by all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church. That is the body of Christ by Jesus Christ. That is the head of Christ throughout all ages. That's in this present hour that we live today. Amen. The world without end. And we all said, God is trustworthy. So here's my thought now, and that don't sound like it's going to work right, but my thought is found in Psalms 78 and 41. Yea, they limited the Holy One of Israel. with all those promises, with all those things we could have, they limited the Holy One of Israel. That means he was someone that was personal and a blessing to them. It wasn't just some God. He was the Holy One of Israel. And I might say to you today, if I can preach to you, I'd like to preach in such a way to encourage us not to limit the Holy One of the holiness churches. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember what the Bible said, and I know that you know these things. Amen. But the Bible says in St. John 3:34, for he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit but measure unto him. You say, yeah, but that's the Lord. But listen to John 20 and 21. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Hallelujah. Without limit to what the Spirit can do. We are heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, the Bible says. The Bible said, unto him be glory in the church, but Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I feel like that we can still have a mighty move of God in our churches today. I don't believe, amen, that the things are shutting down. But sometimes I feel like Gideon, when that angel said, hey, thy man of mighty valor, you know, and he been to talk to him. And Gideon said, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Do you ever get that feeling sometimes? Where is it at? What's happening? Amen. And I don't want to go back. As Brother Joy talked about, that fellow said, well, I hate for you to start preaching now, you know, because ain't going to be nothing happening. You'll just be out there flapping your gums and just, you know, you'll just be there. And, you know, we're getting to a place where a lot of times people feel that way about it. Huh? I don't know why I mentioned this. I don't know if it's really should mention it, but there's a fellow held a revival not too long ago. And when they left, somebody said, well, what'd you get out of the revival? He said, well, our pocketbooks are a lot lighter. You know, that's kind of bad when church gets like that in mind. You know what I mean? They don't see nothing. They don't feel nothing. They never had anything. They just, you know, we wasted our money. And they told how much money you left with, you know. I ain't going to tell you that much because the man that preached was a friend of mine. I wouldn't want him to know what you said, you know. But I'm just simply saying that we don't realize it, but there's a God that wants to give us hope and help and help us to see that we can have a move of God in this present world. I've been preaching a lot in several, I said a lot, I ain't preached a lot, but I preached quite in several small churches. But in my spirit, I feel like that the God in heaven has got a special place for small churches. I don't know what he's got for you in the future. If you pass your church, you're running 20, you're running 30, whatever you're running. I'm glad this church is larger than that. And I pray for our larger churches because I say, you know what I say about larger churches when I pray? I say, God, we need them because we need to see what we could be later on. Amen. If we just keep praying and trusting you. Which God, don't let the larger churches go down. I mean that. I'm serious that. But at the same time, there's a God in heaven that looks down and sees the hours we're living in, and he wants us to know that he's going to do something in our hour, in our day, in our generation. Hallelujah. It's up to us to realize that we don't need to limit him. Amen. Strange things. I think that cook's expert, good expert, pretty good. Amen. Did you ever stop thinking about what Jesus said? I'm looking at this, and I'm not going to be very long this morning. I can see right now I'm running out of corn. I'm still turning my grinder, but corn seemed like kind of run out. But anyway, I was looking at this scripture in the book of Matthew. If I could turn over here where Jesus said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest that which is sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together? Even as a hen gets her chickens under her wings, and you would not. I was raised in the country, and we had a little baney hen, and I had some baneys, and I can remember her having a nest, and then she had chickens, you know, and the little bitties running around there, scratching her, looking, and all of a sudden she'd make a sound, and they'd run under her. She'd squat down on them. Amen. And I remember one time, Brother Prescott, when she did that, I saw a shadow. And I looked up, and there's a hawk going over.
Oh, yeah.
She kept them from their predator.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. The adversary of our souls is a lion that goes about seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said, I can keep you from that. But you limit me because of the fact you don't believe that. You want to try something else. And then I think about how that little hen, amen, if it come up a rain, again she'd call. And they just get under her and she'd sit there and take the rain. Or if it's cold, amen, she might just call them, you know, get chilly today, and they come out, just get warm. There's a certain confidence we can have when we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at him talking to Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophet and stonest them which are sent to thee. I sent them to try to help you, but you didn't accept it. You know, I think you must realize, I feel like this way. If a man comes your way and he's preaching the gospel, and he's a good man, you may not see anything as far as you can put your finger on, but there may be something that you don't know about that's going on. Amen. And just like Brother Joy this morning got up and he never told me that. He'd been preaching, I don't know how many years, that's a long time ago down at Broxton, when I preached on So Let Me Run, about the young man that wanted to run. He was a good man. He may have not known all the things that's going on as far as Absalom was concerned, but he had a message he wanted to tell the king. Amen. Good things are still coming your way. And I remember preaching on that. But see, I went all these years, and I thought a lot of times, brother, amen, about preaching down there, and I thought, I didn't do very good. I didn't do that. But when Brother Joy got up here, Sister Barnett, and said that's what encouraged him to quit his job as a teacher, and his wife quit her job as a teacher and go preaching when they didn't have nowhere to go or no revival scheduled. When I realized how good he's done and how over the years God has took care of him and he's expanded him and he's reached out, and now everywhere you hear Brother Joy's name, they talk about what a good preacher is, and to realize that I had a part of that, amen. What if we just took it at face value and walked off and said, I've never done any good. You see what I'm saying? Amen. So when a preacher comes by, he may not see souls saved. You may not have anybody who feels the Holy Ghost, but there may be some one person there that God's reaching out and encouraging them. Amen. So don't limit God by checking how much it costs you to have the meeting. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, why do I think the Holy Ghost is in such a mess as this? It's pitiful. But last night, Sister Brenda came in. We staying over there, and she came in. Said, Brother Charles, you're going to hear this. You're going to want to hear this. I said, okay. And she told about a man in their church that testified last night. This man loves flowers. Now, I mean, that's not part of me, but anyway, he loves flowers. I like to see them, you know, they're nice, but not enough to take care of them. But anyway, he keeps flowers. But he had two pots of flowers. I can't remember what kind they were, but we'll just say flowers. One of them was doing good. The other was not doing so good. The one was looking straggly. Well, this one pot that's doing good, this robin started building a nest in it. And he didn't want her to build a nest in his flowers, you know, just run them. So he'd run her off, and he'd run her off, and he'd run her off, and he'd run her off, until finally she stopped trying to get back in that flower pot, build a nest. And so she went to work over in this bad pot. He moved that pot away, so she didn't have nothing left but bad. So she started trying, well, he started trying to run her off. She finally got a nest built in that, finally stood it right. And so he got the nest, took it away. She is so determined that she's going to have a nest in that flower pot, she laid an egg without the nest. When he saw that, and he said she was watching him, he got the nest, took it back and put it down, and put the egg in it. Now they tell you they'll abandon it when they do that, but not this robin. She's determined. She laid two more eggs right there. She didn't bother her. And he got and built her a little deal up over where she could, you know, have a little relief from the heat. Well, he was watching her one day, and it come up a storm, and it started raining. Those little bitties had hatched out, and a little robin's in there. She took her wing and covered that nest where she would get the water and the little ones wouldn't be touched. Amen. And then the water changed to hail. And when it did, she just laid down and covered the whole nest of her body and her wings. So all of that hard stuff, you know, amen, hail coming. All that hail was hitting mama. How often do I gather you under my wings, or your children under my wings, as a hen does her chicken, but she would not. Amen. Well, amen. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Hallelujah. He's our burden bearer. He's the one who cares. And he wants to gather us and keep us close through trials and tests. But we sometimes limit him because of our unbelief and because we look for other sources. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When I think about that, just stretched out there. That's the way my Lord does. Said, I would have gathered your children together. And he said, you know, he said, behold, your house is left desolate. Why? Because you limited me. You wouldn't let me do what I wanted to do. You know what? There's something, I don't know if it goes in with good with this line, but you know, for I said to you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You ever wonder why he put that in there? If you go back to the 21st chapter, where that great multitude was, and Jesus is riding in on that little donkey or mule, and he's coming and sitting on ass, colt the foal ass, and they begin to cut branches, and they begin to lay down their garments and stuff. And the Bible said, and the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That was Galileans. That was like, what's that town up close to Washington, D.C., Virginia, that town up there? Anyway, that's like if they were down here, they wouldn't care for our service particularly, because they're the upper crust. The Virginians are all right, but they'll even vote different than you do. Huh? You see what I'm saying? They don't have the same value, do. But here these Galileans are just going, blessed is he come in the name of the Lord. See, and the Bible said, you know, and when he comes to Jerusalem, all the sinners move, saying, who is this? And they said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. But in the 15th verse, it says, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna, son of David, they were sore displeased. He said, you'll never get me as long as you feel like you've got other ways and other means. Amen. You can be sore displeased at me, but there'll come a time when I'll come, amen, and you'll be just as happy to see me as your country cousin. Are those that you really look down your nose on, those that you think are a bunch of rednecks, amen. You'll be just happy to see me as them. Hallelujah. You'll be just that glad. And he said, you'll see me when you become to that opinion and that feeling. And one of these days it's going to happen, brother. It's going to happen just as sure as I'm standing here. But until we do get there, I want to look at a God that's able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power. I want more power. I want to know that love of him. I want to love the lost like he loves the lost. Hallelujah. Now, I had his CD and I was going to listen to it so I'd make sure to get this right. But I was listening to Brother Tim Hudson, and he was talking, preaching real good. But he got to tell him about a dream or a vision he had. He didn't really know what it was. But he said he saw the Lord and was leaving the church. And it may just be in my mind, seemed like to me he had a suitcase in his hand. You know, I may have put that in there because, you know, a lot of time when you retell something, you put something in there you think of and it wasn't there. But anyway, he was easing out the door. His presence was slowly leaving that church. And finally he got to the door. And when he got to the door, he turned around and hung a sign over the door. Said Ichabod, closed the door and left. The glory is departed. And he told that with tears because he felt like there was a, you know, He's talking about churches he'd been to where there was nothing there anymore. And it wasn't according to the number, because I remember he said there's a church that used to run 80 and 90. Said I was back and preached for them. They just had five there. But God was still there. God was still there. Amen. That was the important thing. And then he told again of another time. He saw the same thing, except these people that were having church. And those people, though, he said something like this. They were doing things that really wasn't pleasing the Lord. They changed in their attitude toward him. They changed in the way they looked at things, and the way they looked at sin, maybe. He didn't say all this, but I just gathered kind of what he's talking about, that you know, they're going away from what we one time held to be the thing that was right to do. You know what I'm saying? And he said, again, he was easing out the door, but said they were shouting and talking in tongues, just having a time. And said he opened the door, and said as he closed the door, the Lord closed the door going out that side, the door opened this way, and a spirit of deception came in. Said they kept right on shouting and talking in tongues. They never missed a beat. They didn't know that there'd been any change. They changed in their attitude toward God. They changed in the way they looked at sin. They changed in the way they looked at the move of God, no doubt. Whatever it was, amen. Whatever it was. But all this goes together. I was reading by Brother Kevin Lloyd in The Holiest Messenger, and he's talking about that scripture in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Kevin Lloyd wrote this. The Spirit is not speaking vaguely. He is not talking about those who depart the faith and go back in the world. He speaks expressly and specifically that when they depart, they are given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrine is a religious word. This is a departure from the pure doctrine to the devilish doctrine. When I read that, I thought just a few days before then, when I heard Brother Tim Hudson say, as he went out the door, they just kept shouting and talking tongues because that spirit, I'd hate to be taken in. No, Jesus said it's the light that's in you be of darkness. How great is that darkness? Brother, I don't want to be fooled, do you? We're too close to the end of this race, amen, to get fooled. I want to stand for the truth. I want to stand for what is right, don't you? Amen. So you'll not see me no more until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And I want to tell you something. If you're here this morning, I feel like there's something here. Amen. You're just about give up on God, and you're just about decided, amen, we'll just have to accept this as a norm, and God don't move. Look, first of all, to a miracle that happened to us right up here, right in our midst yesterday. Brother Robert got his healing. Look, first of that, listen to what Brother Joy said about that woman that was in a wheelchair. God healed her. God is still in the same business today. He still heals and sets free and delivers, and he still saves souls. Amen. He's not limited. We limit the Holy One of Israel. We limit him because, amen, if things don't just go the way we want to, we think that's it. That's it. I was in church the other day, and I'm about ready to close. I was in church the other day. Brother Vernon, he's 90-some years old. He's a World War II veteran. And I got up there by him. We've been worshiping together off and on. We didn't go to the same church ever since 1955. And before that, I was a milk hauler in those 10-gallon cans, and I was 18 years old. And I hauled the milk where he lived with his dad at the time, the milk cow in the hall. So I went to school with his brothers. I've known him for years. I walked up to him. He sat by his brother, Brother Paul. And Vernon looked up at me and shook my hand and said, do you still love me? And I said, I sure do. Hallelujah. I still love him. Amen. And I remember how, and I've probably told you this. We was in church one night. You know, when I got saved, you went wherever there's having revival. Anymore, we just kind of send a token representative, you know. And well, so and so goes, that lets them know our church knows they're having it. That's good enough. Huh? Hasn't it changed a lot, or has it?
Yes.
But when I got saved, if you heard a revival, you went to it. And me and him was over to Cull. Over at Cull, that's the name of town, C-U-L-L. On how it got its name. I've looked it over pretty good. I think it named right. But anyway, we went over to Victoria Mission. and they was having church that night, and we were sitting on the front, and they got ready to give the altar call. And I looked at Brother Vernon. I said, give me your hand. Let's agree that somebody's going to get saved. And we grabbed hands, and we started bowing our heads. We didn't make no loud noise, but we started agreeing, Brother Lloyd, I think of the first name now. Amen. And we started agreeing together at somebody. And the next thing you know, there's an old boy way in the back with his head down, just come walking up, knelt down, got saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm telling you what, I believe it still worked today. I believe it still worked today. We didn't go just so we could be a representative. We didn't know so they just said, now, we want you to know, we know that you're in church, and we just want you to know you got our best wishes. We went because we were hungry to see God move. Amen. It was Leonard Ravenhill that said, wrote, and I liked it. He said, we used to go to church to meet God. Now we go to church to hear a sermon about God. Hallelujah. They limited the Holy One of Israel. And if you're here this morning, I feel in my spirit that there's someone here this morning and your faith has been sorely tried and you feel like and you know you're losing ground. God is just like he always was. Hallelujah. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken you the word of God, whose faith follow. Considering the end of our conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. And I know that conversation don't mean talk, but look at this way. Look at them this way. Does their life show that they still believe what they always believed? Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Give us some good song, if you don't mind. And we're going to have an altar call here. And if you're here this, well, I know you're here. You're just having a struggle. Brother, there's strength in the Lord. Sister, there's help. There's help. Right here at this altar. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you something else about that. You can't always tell by what you got, by what you felt like you got when you came. Amen. I drove 500 miles to Allentown Camp Meeting years ago. My wife and children couldn't go, and I went down there. That was the most trying time I ever had at Allentown. Seemed like nothing touched me, nothing helped me. And finally one night, I said to the preacher, that was Brother Harley, I told him, I said, I'm going home. It's pretty well over. And I stayed till after altar service. I left. I remember I got to church, home the next morning just as kids getting ready to go to school. The cold morning. It's kind of a bad day for me to even get home. But did you know, after I got home, 6 months later, things had come to me that I heard, and I'd feel strength from them. Hallelujah. So when you come and ask God for help, you just say, God, I'm going to get it because you said it was. Hallelujah. And if I ever come back again and you didn't get it and months later you still hadn't got it, you tell me and I'll apologize to the whole church. But I believe my God's able to give you strength. You don't have to give up. You don't have to lose faith. You don't have to drop out. God is for you. Hallelujah. He's just like that old hen. And another thing, if you turn him down, how's he going to help your children? Jerusalem, how often have I gathered thy children, those born inside your walls? Hallelujah. I believe I'd come to him and say, Lord, I'm coming because I want you not only to help me, but protect my children. Sing.